Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 7th of July, 2014, the podcast that can never remember all the characters on Game of Thrones. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week are Jonathan Lochey and Charles Thomas. Guys, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
Hello.
Yeah, we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants. I was going to do this one with Daniel Wilcox last night when we normally recorded and we had all sorts of audio issues that we couldn't do. So this is kind of a last minute thrown together thing. So apologies if it's a little raw, but we'll go straight through. Let's crowd mock the news of the bogus. And the biggest news this week, and the reason why I really wanted to get the podcast out this week and not cancel it, is the Supreme Court decision, Burwell et al. Versus Hobby Lobby Stores et al., which went 5-4 in favor of Hobby Lobby, and then just created this firestorm in the news and on the internet. And of course, it's really incredible how everyone's getting it completely and utterly wrong.
Well, that's the internet. You know, it's easily to have, you can put one little story out there and, well, you know, no one wants to really look at the facts. Just, it's a couple keystrokes all you have to do, but, you know, that's too hard.
Yeah.
Just saying, you mean this case didn't just set back the women's right movement to the point that we might as well just reinstitute the rule of thumb?
No. Yep, we're here to straighten things out once again. Let's get this out of the way right away. Hobby Lobby is not stopping its employees from getting birth control under their employee health plans. In fact, their plans cover 16 different forms of birth control, and Hobby Lobby never objected to any of these.
So what is the problem then, some would say?
Well, the problem is there are 20 birth control plans covered in the FDA, and they object to 4 of those.
4? So, four. And honestly, to me, when I looked at this, it just seems that a lot of people, once again, are not looking at the source and such. You got the website right here, it's the Supreme Court .gov and everything. I don't know why people, I know it's a little long. It's a lot long, but, you know, if you read the whole thing, it does clear it out a bit.
Yeah. And first of all, this only applies to non-public corporations. Publicly held corporations are not covered by this decision. Hobby Lobby isn't publicly held. You can't buy stock in Hobby Lobby. It's 100% privately owned, and it's the rights of those private owners that are being asserted. And it's also not the case that right-wingers are using judges to worm religious exemptions into law. This religious exemption is the law. In fact, it's an act of Congress done by the Democrats. The Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 passed overwhelmingly by voice vote in the Democratic House. It passed 97-3 in the Senate and was signed into law by President Bill Clinton. So once again, we have liberals and progressives whining about something Democrats passed and blaming the Republicans.
Whoa, that took, come on, Shane. That took place so long ago, 1993. I mean, that's like a century ago, man. Yeah. In internet time.
But I think to me, what speaks about this case is the overwhelming reaction I'm seeing on Facebook and stuff is when you talk about rights, you know, Shane, you some of the best. This is about a private business owner's rights.
Yes.
I see the stuff about how, you know, this right to health care, right to have access to birth control. This isn't a right. This is, you're basically bitching about forcing someone else to pay for something for you.
Exactly.
What, you know, to me, what we should be upset about is, why is the United States the only Western country where a woman can't go and pick up birth control over the counter as if she was going to buy Tylenol?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that's huge. But this was an act that gives a specific objective test to determine how the federal government should accommodate religious beliefs. And one is, say with me now, a compelling state interest.
Oh, joy.
So they have to accommodate religious beliefs unless it's A, necessary to further a government interest, and B, the least restrictive means of doing so. And so what the owners of Hobby Lobby and Conestoga and Mardell, what they're arguing is that they believe that life begins at conception, so they shouldn't be forced to pay for any birth control that operates after conception, such as by preventing the fertilized egg from implanting on the uterine wall. And they claimed that forcing them to pay for those violates the RFRA, and there were four of those 20 FDA-approved contraceptives that fell into this category. Two of them were morning after pills, and two were IUDs, and from a completely factual point of view, one morning after pills, Plan B, is completely ineffective after fertilization. The other one, Ella, may be an abortifacient, but I couldn't find any definitive clinical evidence. There's just like something like they can't really rule it out kind of thing. There are no IUDs that are known to be abortifacients. So, I mean, they're just factually wrong on the face of it. The only known abortifacient is RU486, which is not considered a contraceptive by the FDA. It's only available by prescription. And no employer has ever been forced to pay for it as part of an employee health plan. In this case, has nothing to do with RU486. So they're just wrong about these drugs, basically.
So basically, these drugs, and these are basically ineffective. So I have no idea why Hobby Lobby was so upset about it. They should have done some
research. They're effective to prevent fertilization, but they're not effective in stopping a pregnancy once fertilization has occurred, and that's what they were complaining about. But the fact wasn't a question before the court. The court is just ruling on the law. This case was solely about whether or not the RFRA applies to for-profit corporations. And the court did specifically say that this decision does not extend to things like religious exemptions, to discrimination in hiring practices, like they don't want to hire gay people. It doesn't apply to that, so all the fear-mongering about that is just complete bogosity.
But that sounds...
So you're telling me I can't start the Reformed Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster to get out of paying taxes?
It'd be nice.
Well, but that's what sells, you know. People saying, "Oh my God! Like, what if Muslims were the ones who were running the Hobby Lobby and such?" And you know, it's like that veil type of you know, racist type of stuff. Saying, "And see, if Muslims were dead, then the country would be so against it." I'm like, really? I mean, it just seems like that same type of the evil other type thing. And when they are put their arguments and stuff, it's always from these people who are very smart in respect, like George Takei, who made that statement. I'm like, really? It just surprises me when someone says
that. Hasn't looked into it. He's just following the news along with everyone else and just kind of blindly accepting what he's been told. And we rely on the news when they are just completely and totally unreliable.
Yeah, it's sad. I think the best thing we should do is again, look and see what's the real issue is, because then again, I can see why some people, you know, they got things they gotta do, you know, they're busy, but when you do find a way to get the information, you have to look and see the stuff is out there, but you have to really dig for it. And this is, to me, the real failing of what the news sources from Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, what have you. Again, that's my favorite catchphrase.
Apologies for doing this live. I can't edit out the what have yous on this one.
but you know what I'm saying, though. It's just they're taking the easy, lazy way out, the media and stuff. That's the real problem here.
They're trying to generate viewers, and they're trying to build up a controversy so people will, you know, tune in to them, and you know, and so they can, you know, whip up support for their agenda and things like that. Instead of, you know, doing something ridiculous like looking at what the court actually said, and it's all about the contraceptive mandate, which we covered this before when we covered Obamacare. There is no contraceptive mandate anywhere in the Affordable Care Act. That's just something the Obama administration made up. And what the court found is the contraceptive mandate is not the least restrictive way of doing this as the RFRA requires. Quote, Record in these cases shows that there is an existing, recognized, workable, and already implemented framework to provide coverage. That framework is one that HHS itself has devised that the plaintiffs have not criticized with a specific objection that has been considered in detail by the courts in this litigation and that is less restrictive than the means challenged by the plaintiff in these cases. The means that the government chose is the imposition of a direct mandate on the employers in these cases, but in other instances, the government has allowed the same contraceptive coverage, an issue here, to be provided to employees of nonprofit religious organizations as an accommodation to the religious objection of those entities. The accommodation works by requiring insurance companies to cover, without cost-sharing, contraception coverage for female employees who wish it. That accommodation equally furthers the government's interest, but does not impinge on the plaintiff's religious beliefs. On this record, and as explained by the court, the government has not met its burden, showing that it cannot accommodate the plaintiff's similar religious objections under this established framework. Our FRA is inconsistent with the insistence of an agency such as HHS on distinguishing between different religious believers, burdening one while accommodating the other, when it may treat both equally by offering both of them the same accommodation. In other words, just treat the for-profit corporations like you do the nonprofit corporations. And I mean, this is not going to stop any women from getting contraception. They can still get it through HHS. They're just going to apply that to... Okay, it also applies when you're working for a for-profit organization and not just a nonprofit.
You know, I think the best solution for all of this is make contraceptives open for the free market. Make birth control pills like you can buy them off the, go to CVS and buy them.
Absolutely, yeah. Like Jonathan said earlier, make them over the counter. I think we're about the only country in the world that doesn't have them over the counter. It's ridiculous. Let people buy them like aspirin.
Exactly. We could have people have condoms. Why can't they have contraceptives? It'd be easier. We wouldn't have this no fuss, no muss. Be in and out. No one really would have any much troubles. And it just makes no sense. I don't. What's the end goal of this? To have more bureaucracy?
No? I don't know. But well, one point they do have is that IUDs, which are one of the most effective forms of birth control, and was one of the ones they were objecting to, IUDs are expensive. And, but I mean, still, you know, what he's saying here, just go to HHS and you can get it through there, so. Ginsburg in her dissent, and of course the liberals and progressives love, playing around this Ginsburg dissent as if it's this big knockdown argument. She tried to make it about corporate personhood, quote, "Until this litigation, no decision of this court recognized a for-profit corporation's qualification for a religious exemption from a generally applicable law, whether under the Free Exercise Clause or RFRA. The absence of such precedent is just what one would expect, for the exercise of religion is characteristic of natural persons, not artificial legal entities." Well, first of all, the RFRA specifically encompasses, quote, "corporations, companies, associations, firms, partnerships, societies, and joint stock companies, as well as individuals." So it says it covers corporations, and it doesn't distinguish between for-profit and non-profit corporations. And I really don't understand why people think that things like human rights make such a difference just because you're making a profit.
I don't know. I have no idea why they don't do that. It's because bureaucracy is better, I think, Shane. It's better because, that's what, at the end of the day, it keeps people with pointless jobs and fills the economy, I guess. But, again, we can solve this problem. If we just sell these things over the counter, we won't have to need the Supreme Court to waste their time with this whole, Hobby Lobby stuff. And we can go on, Facebook sharing cat pictures,
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the quote that was real rich from Ginsburg about something to the effect of the extent of government, and which made me wonder if Justice Ginsburg believes there is any limit to the scope of government.
I guess she doesn't. While you're looking for that, let me read out this part of the opinion of the court, which actually covers what she complained about in her dissent, quote, Congress provided protection for people like the Hans and Greens by employing a familiar legal fiction. It included corporations within RFRA's definition of persons. But it is important to keep in mind that the purpose of this fiction is to provide protection for human beings. A corporation is simply a form of organization used by human beings to achieve desired ends. An established body of law specifies the rights and obligations of the people, including shareholders, officers, and employees who are associated with the corporation in one way or another. When rights, whether constitutional or statutory, are extended to corporations, the purpose is to protect the rights of those people. For example, extending Fourth Amendment protection to corporations protects the privacy interests of employees and others associated with the company. Protecting corporations from government seizure of their property without just compensation protects all those who have a stake in the corporation's financial well-being. And protecting the free exercise rights of corporations like Hobby Lobby, Conestoga, and Mardell protects the religious liberty of the humans who own and control those companies. So I guess if Ginsburg had a way, government could just search through the records of a corporation willy-nilly because they don't have rights. And Alita's opinion, I think, demonstrates the absurdity of that.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Well, we need government for everything, man, because even though they screw up 90% of the time, they get at least 5% right, or 5% right on purpose and 5% all right, you know, when they do. It's just, again, I think
that's the thing. This case is nothing. Nothing happened with this case. It's just the law as it's been for years and years and years. It's just that now we have this Obamacare thing, and okay, we gotta make Obamacare conform to these laws. But nothing's changed. Nothing's happened.
Again, and honestly, I think the reason I actually had Nicolesi actually made a video saying the three basic things make Obamacare a lot better. And he says make, you know, the insurance companies let people actually buy different insurance companies from across state lines, which is something that a lot of people thought Obamacare was gonna do, but it hasn't.
It never was.
Well, you know, hopefully eventually when someone does do that, they're going to say, see, we told you Obamacare worked.
All right, Jonathan,
basically,
go ahead.
Basically, Hobby Lobby is much ado about nothing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Here's
a good rule of thumb. If you have to make an exemption to a law to accommodate religious people, the whole thing probably shouldn't be the law to begin with.
Yeah, I agree.
Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. Well, Facebook's in the news again, and it looks like they've been bad. According to the Electronic Privacy Information Center, in a complaint against the company to the FTC, Facebook's recently published study shows that they violated their agreements with users. Maybe. Sort of. Or not. So this is a study published June the 2nd in PNAS, and the idea was they took something like 600,000 users for a one-week period, and they manipulated what they saw in their news feeds, and half of them got posts in their news feeds that were deemed to be happy and people expressing their happiness. The other half were sad and people expressing what they were sad about something, and they wanted to see how people reacted to that. And they found that the people who got the happy results in their news feed actually made happier posts, and the people who got the sadder stories in their news feed had sadder posts to make.
Well, that's groundbreaking.
Yeah, I know. Who would have guessed that outcome? So this has caused this great controversy about Facebook manipulating people's minds and so on. Facebook contends that it's consistent with Facebook's data use policy and that users are informed of it in the agreement that they were shown when they signed up that they didn't bother to read. I mean, really, does anyone read? Who reads those?
Again, I don't even know. I just click. I look down, click the thing, and there I go. That's what it is. No one actually read those things. No one. I mean.
Yeah.
But
there was a Dilbert comic a while back where Dilbert got the EULA when he installed a piece of software. He went through it without reading it, and without realizing it, he agreed to be Bill Gates' towel boy.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, this... At this point, you know, I mean, it seems like every couple of months something goes along with Facebook and with user privacy info. You might as well basically just assume off the bat that if you sign up for a Facebook account, you're basically... And I guess this is something that people don't...
They get your data. They get whatever you post. Yeah, they get it.
You're not the... You are... What Facebook is selling is ads, and you are the product to advertisers.
Yep.
When you sign up for an account, you are basically one giant outflowing of metadata for companies to advertise. That's all you are.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't anything different than what they've done before. In fact, I think they've done some other things that are more nefarious, such as, like, if you're a page as opposed to a user, you know, a page like Bogosity, and you put, you know, news and links and things like that in your timeline, not all of the people who follow you will actually get those, but if you're a paid page, if you've actually paid Facebook, then yeah, they'll get more of them. So, I mean, they've done more nefarious things like this in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the only difference here is it was used for actual published research.
Well, but again, I don't know. I love the fact that this article says they're messing with people's minds. Like they have some type of mental type thing, like the Charles Xavier or something. Like, yeah, like, ooh, we're
the orbital mind control lasers.
Yes. Even though it's not even close or something like that.
They're working on those in Mark Zuckerberg's garage.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, let's go from Facebook to Google. From our What Were They Thinking department, Google has apparently wiped from its search results all pages from bayfiles.net, which is one of those cloud storage sites where you can upload a file and you can share it with others. And a lot of people use them, like if you have a file to send to someone, it's too big to attach to an email. So you put it up there and you send them the link. So really, it's no different from 100 other services out there. And no one really seems to know why Google removed it, not even the Bay Files team. They haven't received any copyright notices or anything like that. Searches from other search engines such as Bing still work, but here's the interesting thing. It was founded by the same guys who founded the Pirate Bay.
Ooh.
There you go. I'm sure that's not a coincidence.
Yeah, it's like, what's going on there? But it's not a pirate site. It's just one of those cloud storage sites, like, you know, hundreds of others that are out there.
Yeah, but, you know, no one wants to look at that, Shane. I mean, Pirate Bay equals pirates, and, you know, they got the eye patch, and they got the bird on the shoulder.
But this
know?
Isn't Pirate Bay, it's Bay Files. It has the bay part, not the pirate part.
Yeah, well, but they can't look at that.
I'm sure some episodes of Game of Thrones are being shared on there somewhere, damn it.
But they didn't get any copyright notices. They didn't get anything. There's no, no. And it's not going to affect the site much because the team says that they don't get much traffic from search results to begin with. It's from people directly sharing. But still, what up, Google? I mean, if we go to your website and you say, yes, we'll search the web, we want you to search the web. I mean, am I being too radical here?
No, well, you know.
This is the thing. Apparently, we all just woke up and we're currently in the People's Republic of China, so.
Yeah, that's what it is, man. We are just, you know, it's just that people just don't want to look at things, man. They just want to say, oh, it has some cloud storing, it has something on there, so we have to ban it. Even though
it might just be, you know, the paranoia that is part of the design behind the Digital Millennium Copyright Act and all those other similar laws. You know, they're just afraid to do anything because they don't want to get, you know, that letter from the corporate lawyers, you know, with Warner Brothers or whoever.
Yeah, you know, you do something a little bit wrong, everyone goes a bit crazy. Mm. You know, it's sad. It's sad that we have to walk on eggshells and have new technology stymied because of these old witch guys who just want just to have their own power and try to be relevant, which at the end of the day, they're not relevant.
Nope.
Then I mean, they're not relevant, and they're holding back. They're holding us back, man. They're holding us back just so they can get an extra couple bucks. It's sad.
Yep. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's Liberty Classroom. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, Liberty Classroom teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you'll get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit libertyclassroom.com. And now it's time to raise our bogon filters for this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week it goes to a school district in Connecticut for their content blocking filters for the classroom's web access. High school student Andrew Lampart was assigned to do a report on gun control, and he quickly found out that the school's internet filters only allowed him to access websites on the pro-gun control side of the debate, and he was unable to access the websites of pro-Second Amendment organizations like the NRA.
Well, you know, they have to, because, you know, all gun rights people are evil, misogynist, racist, that they want to come in and take over your jobs and everything else. They want to come and kill you every 5 seconds, saying, don't you realize that? Don't you care about the children?
Well, he decided to poke around some more. He found out that there were many debates he was only allowed to access the liberal side of, with the conservative or libertarian side of the debate blocked by the filters. He could access pro-choice sites, but not pro-life. He could access the websites of liberal organizations like the National Grassroots Coalition or Hillary Clinton's website, but he couldn't access sites like TeaParty.org or LiberalLogic101.com.
Oh, well, you know, again, I just don't want to have...
The part about this that really sticks out to me is the fact that there was actually a quote-unquote political advocacy group filter on this fire, and the, as all the, you know, the conservative pro-gun sites were all flagged, but all the liberal sites that he was able were just left as unrated.
Yep. And what he said was, quote, I immediately found it difficult to find resources that were opposed to stricter gun control, as most of these websites were blocked by the firewall. Most of these websites were blocked under the category of political slash advocacy groups. Out of curiosity, I decided to perform a brief investigation and search to see what other websites were blocked under this listing. What I discovered was appalling. As you can see from the list that I have provided you, the firewall of the high school offers a very biased viewpoint towards not only the issue of gun control, but also abortion, religion, and political parties. Even in this crucial election year, for not only the state of Connecticut, but the entire nation, the firewall has effectively blocked candidate has selectively blocked candidate websites.
Wow. It just, you know, this is a really... really surprised, you know, really not really surprising, but it's just really shocking that this has happened. And yeah, I guarantee you there will be people who will defend this, which to me is wrong. Sure, you might disagree, and I disagree with some of these, Paul Ryan and all this type of stuff. I disagree with them, but I want to see what the ideals and everything else, because if we just go out with one side, you get only one side of the issue. You're not really being open-minded. You're not open-minded.
Well, at the very least, if you include Paul Ryan's website, include Hillary Clinton's.
Exactly.
If you're going to block one, block the other. I mean, you know.
Yeah, now, I guess in reading about this, and this is what I want to know, because I guess they licensed the firewall from a private contractor.
Yeah. Dell Sonic Wall.
Yeah. So was the Sonic Walls doing?
Well, here's what the superintendent released in a statement, quote, "Many of the liberal sites acceptable to the student fell into the not rated category, which was unblocked, while many of the conservative sites were in the political advocacy group, which is accessible to teachers but not to students. The district is trying to determine the reason for the inconsistency and if the bias is pervasive enough to justify switching to another content filtering provider. The district does not block individual sites, only categories of websites. The categories are supposed to be inclusive of all sites that fall into a common description. The district does not engage in unblocking sites to provide diverse points of view and the district does engage in unblocking sites to provide diverse points of view and balance in the instructional process." So they are kind of passing the buck up there. And it may be the case that Dell Sonic Wall did a terrible job saying what websites belong in the category, but it was the school that blocked that category to begin with.
Yeah, that's right. This is about education and teaching the young minds of tomorrow. I mean, why would a school block something like townhall.com or, the Second Amendment Foundation, the NRA? Those all have varying...
Why would you block political advocacy sites from... I mean, that just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, again...
And they blocked that, but they left unrated. If it's just not rated, then they can just get there.
Yeah, it's amazing. Look at this. Again, you have other stuff like IslamGuide.com, you got Newtown Action Alliance, and all these stuff were unblocked, and yet you have stuff like, rightwingwatch.org, which I think that was, I think that's actually a liberal thing, because a lot of people...
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody screwed up with that.
Because they're watching the right wing and pointing out all the crappy stuff they do.
Yeah, and you have, Christianity.com, National Guns Rights. Again, you have these, it's just to me another problem with a lot of these, again,
so. And it's not a new problem.
It's not
this filtering of political websites on one side of the issue. It's been going on for at least 15 years now, pretty much ever since content filtering began. And yes, there are also ones that have been shown to filter out liberal websites, letting the conservative ones through as well. And I think it's been going on for so long that it's irresponsible of any IT professional not to know about it.
Yeah, and it's wrong. You cannot have be open-minded and you only have one side. You have to look at all, and you have to look at all of them. I might disagree and agree with some things you say, Shane, or you say stuff, and vice versa. But you have to let the person speak and let them look at these type of websites or ideals and such, so you can actually look and actually have some critical thinking. That's the main thing about being a free person, a free ideal, is actually that critical thought, looking at these ideas and say, maybe some of these ideas aren't evil or bad, or not all of these guys, Republicans or Tea Partiers, are racist, evil type of stuff like people keep saying they are. Maybe there might be decent people with different ideals, that sort of thing, and we can be, together and stuff. But, of course, it doesn't work that way with people who want to be in power. They just like to divide and conquer.
Yeah, and in my opinion, they shouldn't even be filtering content at all. If they're really just interested in protecting children, OpenDNS has a service that's very inexpensive for K-12 institutions, and it doesn't have these kinds of problems.
Yeah. They should. I mean, but you know what? They won't.
Yeah. So sorry, but Connecticut Regional School District 14 just can't get out of being this week's biggest bogon emitter. You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers. And Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.bogosity.tv, you won't pay a penny more, excuse me, a Satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.bogosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now. Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy. I've been very satisfied with GoDaddy's services and their wonderful 24/7 customer support for over 10 years now. So I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or other service and get 35% off with the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet hosting. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. And now it's time for the only positive accolade this podcast gives out. For the third time in 2014, and for an unprecedented third month in a row, some clever person or group has won our Silver Kluon Award. So the NSA has this huge $1.5 billion data center in Utah that they used to spy on you and me. The Electronic Frontier Foundation wanted to call more attention to the NSA and its atrocities against the privacy of Americans. So they teamed up with a total of 20 groups that include the 10th Amendment Center and Greenpeace. I mean, these groups range all over the political landscape. And they had a blimp fly right over the data center with the words NSA illegal spying below and an arrow pointing down.
That's just brilliant right there.
Oh, good man. For them.
I love that as soon as I saw it. I'm like, yeah, that's a Silver Kluon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is just amazing. You know, it's just like $1.5 billion. I mean, I don't know. Could you imagine how many hospitals and mm-hmm. roads and all the people can say, you know, what about the roads? You know, $1.5 billion could fix them up, I think.
Oh, well, just look at that picture. If you'll notice in the background, there's this huge power station. That power station is just to generate power for the data center.
Yep. Wow.
That's it. I mean, just imagine how many computers are there.
Yeah. How many of them? Probably they got to keep them nice and cool, all these type of things. And you sit there, you wonder, all this spying and everything that they use, how many times have they actually caught a terrorist or something? Because, mm-hmm. you know, the last big thing was like the Boston marathon bombing, and the NSA had all this power, and for that good, nothing. They didn't catch them.
Nope.
They didn't catch them before that. I mean, if they
they caught them because they had the support and aid of the people who lived around there.
Yeah, and no, the NSA, all of its spying, all of its stuff, it can't stop these horrible. Horrible acts. I mean, how about these like these school shootings or this like the recent shooting that happened over in California with Elliot Rodge? I mean, couldn't they done so? He was posting this stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
On YouTube. And they couldn't get anything.
It's just
there.
So much data to go through. There's just no way it can happen.
Yeah.
Human beings can't do it. It's just too much. Computers aren't intelligent enough yet to do it.
Thank God.
Yeah. Mm. So the EFF tweeted, quote, "Dirigibles for digital rights. We're flying over the Utah data center to announce our new campaign, Grading Congress on Surveillance Reform." And that's a website, standagainstspying.org, where you can type in your address and see how your Congress critters have voted on these privacy issues.
All right. I'm going to look at this thing right now and see how Let us know.
And this blimp got coverage not only on Twitter, but on local news as well. So, I mean, it just got all sorts of attention, and people have been passing the photos around Facebook and just everywhere.
Well, let's see. My rep, Denny Hoyer, he's gotten a -2, so
okay.
Yeah, he's -2. Senator Ben Carlton gets a 0.
Ooh.
And... 0. So all total. Okay.
Well, 0 is better than -2, but
that's just yeah. So yeah, my stuff is not doing so well.
Let's see. Andrew Crenshaw with a -2. When both Marco Rubio and Bill Nelson are undecided. Although I know Bill Nelson's done. He'll probably get an F. I know he's sponsored some stuff. I'm not sure how Rubio's voted.
Mine were undecided, but I've gotten enough of those automated responses from when I've written Kay Hagan to know she's totally down with the NSA spying.
Oh, yeah. They love that spying.
Mm. So nicely done, EFF. Enjoy your shiny new silver Kluon. And if you want, we'll convert it to Bitcoin to keep the government away from it. Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Backup sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.pagosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.pagosity.tv and get LastPass now. And now it's time to give a good kick in the assets to this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this week, it goes to PayPal for freezing the account of a very interesting company. It's called ProtonMail, and it's a new secure email system offering full end-to-end encryption of emails. So the idea would be you compose the email in your browser. It gets encrypted in your browser before it goes across the network, and it goes across encrypted so that people on, the snooping on your Wi-Fi or the NSA or whatever, they can't see it, and it doesn't get decrypted until it actually gets onto the computer of the person you sent the email to. So at no point does it go through unencrypted.
That seems to be interesting.
Yeah. And really, the technology has been there for like 15 years to do this with PGP, and they're actually partnered with the OpenPGP group, so that might be one of the ways they're doing this. But you can go ahead and set that up now with any email system. It's just kind of difficult to do, and it hasn't really been the case so far that, the email providers have been building this into their system, but maybe now that there's all this attention, they will. But anyway, what happened was that ProtonMail is engaging in crowdfunding on Indiegogo to achieve their startup costs. One of the payment methods was PayPal. And they froze it and said, okay, you can't get any more donations through PayPal.
Well, why? Some would say. Why was they not doing this?
PayPal didn't give any reason at first. When ProtonMail contacted them, they, quote, questioned whether ProtonMail is legal and asked if ProtonMail, quote, had government approval to encrypt emails.
Wow.
I mean, this is what it's getting to. People are afraid to take a step without saying, will the government allow me to do this? The whole point of encrypting emails is that we want to say, screw you, government. We're communicating securely.
Yeah, this is the same government that has what, like this whole FBI scandal, not FBI, but IRS scandal that they couldn't even have like only barely enough email space so they have to dump everything. I don't think you're going to have a really clear, you know, they're not going to really do anything for that. I mean, to me, why aren't they, government officials using stuff like this instead of using the same only, what, megabytes for email system and using some like Proton Mail? Which is something I think they should be using, but instead,
how many billions of dollars do we have to pay Microsoft so that the IRS can keep using Windows XP?
Yeah. Yeah, and Proton Mail later said, quote, "We're not sure which government PayPal is referring to, and Proton Mail is based in Switzerland," which is actually one of the good things about it. Switzerland has the Federal Data Protection Ordinance and the Federal Data Protection Act, which gives the Swiss all the privacy guarantees our Constitution is supposed to give us. So,
We don't use that anymore, Shane.
Nah.
So we outsource it. Who cares?
Nah, that's 200 years old. Quote, "But even the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution guarantees the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures." Mm. So, you know, like they're going to start paying attention to that.
You know, it's a damn piece of paper, what the president once said. But honestly, when you look at this, Switzerland, again, which you said, Shane, is a lot more freer and has a lot more security. And do they have to go to the Switzerland government or the United States government?
That's the thing. All these places are going to Switzerland and New Zealand and places like that to set it up because the U.S. government has just become so heavy-handed against things like that, that they have to.
Yeah, it's a bit of a problem. Not a bit, but it's a bit of a huge problem that that they don't really want to solve or care for. They're just like saying, well, or worse, they're trying to instigate this thing, saying we have to have these guys, you know, making the website, you know, make emails and everything else. We need to look before you need. We need to protect you by looking to your emails and Facebooks and YouTubes and everything else, even though we don't really going to look, but we need to just to protect you. All for protect me.
Yeah. Well, when ZDNet saw a comment from PayPal, their response said, quote, "A technical problem this week resulted in PayPal applying restrictions to the account. We have contacted Proton Mail today to solve this and can confirm that Proton Mail is able to receive and send funds through PayPal again. We are sorry for any inconvenience caused." So their account's now unfrozen, and I guess they were trying to do a little bit of damage control there. But, I mean, you don't know. The person who asked them, you know, if it was legal to do, you know, that maybe that was an intern or something. Who knows?
Yeah, but, again, it's the fear.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. Because one thing, they say, oh, my goodness, we might say one thing, and next thing you know, bam, your safe harbor status or anything goes away, and you have government officials shutting you down, like Mega Upload many moons ago.
Yep.
It's a scary type thing when you have governments have these type of, you're not talking about U.S. government, but governments in general who just want to increase their power and try to take things down. It might be for a betterment. It might be for trying to protection, but and more often than not, it just seems to be somewhat to accumulate more power. And it's a sad thing. It's a real sad thing.
So that's why PayPal has to be this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire.
Well, that wraps up this I Don't Like Being Called Eddie Baby edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at bogosity.tv where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Jonathan Lochey and Charles Thomas for joining me.
Always a pleasure.
No problem.
Until next time, here's a quote from William O. Douglas. "We are rapidly entering the age of no privacy, where everyone is open to surveillance at all times, where there are no secrets from government." The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 imported license. Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again. Okay, I just want to do a historical note about that quote. Douglas was the Supreme Court Justice who said that in his dissenting opinion in Osborne v. United States in 1966. Quote, "We are rapidly entering the age of no privacy, where everyone is open to surveillance at all times, where there are no secrets from government. The aggressive breaches of privacy by the government increase by geometric proportions. Wiretapping and bugging run rampant without effective judicial or legislative control." And he also said that recent events, quote, "demonstrate an alarming trend whereby the privacy and dignity of our citizens is being whittled away by sometimes imperceptible steps. Taken individually, each step may be of little consequence, but when viewed as a whole, there begins to emerge a society quite unlike any we have seen, a society in which government may intrude into the secret regions of man's life at will. Such practices can only have a damaging effect on our society. Once sanctioned, there is every indication that their use will indiscriminately spread. The time may come when no one can be sure whether his words are being recorded for use at some future time, when everyone will fear that his most secret thoughts are no longer his own, but belong to the government, when the most confidential and intimate conversations are always open to eager, prying ears. When that time comes, privacy, and with it, liberty, will be gone. If a man's privacy can be invaded at will, who can say he is free? If his every word is taken down and evaluated, or if he is afraid every word may be, who can say he enjoys freedom of speech? If his every association is known and recorded, if the conversations with his associates are purloined, who can say he enjoys freedom of association? When such conditions obtain, our citizens will be afraid to utter any but the safest and most orthodox thoughts, afraid to associate with any but the most acceptable people. Freedom, as the Constitution envisions it, will have vanished." And this was in 1966.
Wow. But this guy was, honestly, he was on point.
Yep.
It's sad, but you know, hopefully, people, we do eventually get better. That's my hope, is that we eventually do get better. We will become a more wiser people. I mean, it doesn't happen overnight, but we will, hopefully.
Hopefully. Without it having to come to another bloody armed revolution or anything like that.
We can only hope and pray. That's all we can do.
But with technology like encryption, like what we were talking about, it shouldn't have to come to that. We can just keep our own stuff private.
Yeah, that's what it is. And hopefully things will get better. That's my thing. It will get better. Oh, looks like someone's trying to get the government. They found us, Shane. They found us.
Okay.